No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now. Right now.
Florida State Legislature passing a new congressional map. Cordell Scott's on News Radio 92.3.
Hours after Florida State House voted 83-28 along party lines to approve a new congressional map, the state Senate did the same.
Record the vote.
21 yeas, 17 nays, Mr. President.
So the bill passes.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through.
Last night, Keila Richardson performing Alicia Keys, who was actually there as kind of a guest consultant person to help out. I think all three of them, they were all singing her song. Just it was fantastic stuff. And, you know, talking to her about that in advance. And
I love it.
If you ask me, I'm ready.
This is a song for you talking to yourself.
If you ask me, I'm ready.
I was really excited that she chose this song because Keila could achieve the unthinkable and the real chance to win.
And I thought maybe she was a little not her best in that song. I mean, she's very good. She's a fantastic singer. But then, you know, the second song she did was phenomenal. And then the Jason Mraz song eventually was phenomenal, too. But in between there, we got to see the package and, you know, showing Pensacola or Pensacola with the beaches and the pier and the jet skiing and, you know, just having a good time. It was a great ad for Pensacola. I loved it.
This whole process has been amazing because you have been by my side, and I'm so proud of you. You're like my protector, and that's what a young man's supposed to do. And this is my thanks to you. We're gonna ride some jet skis and enjoy the day.
And her being at the parade that we threw for her, which was, I mean, I don't know, nobody else had a parade.
I'm thankful. Thankful.
Showing 11,000 people at the Hunter Amphitheater. I know the little town in Missouri that Hannah was from that has 2,000 people population, they seem to have at least a couple of several hundred, maybe 1,000 or so at theirs. But, of course, they brought in Jody Messina for that one, which I did not think that was fair. that's not straight up. That's not right.
You want mommy to win? Yeah, you do.
I believe you have the energy to.
I love you, dude.
Heavily featuring her son, Drew. And, you know, we got to see the Blue Angels for about a thousandth of a second. I would have had more of that, but it's okay. I mean, it was a pretty good show for Pensacola. There you go. You get your free ad, Pensacola. And then she slayed with the Whitney Houston song. And by the way, hats off to anybody who even tries to sing a Whitney Houston song. Just for trying, you should get credit. But she did great. Just so good. Carrie Underwood afterwards.
I love this show so, so much. I loved your hometown package. I love that you took this opportunity to sing to the Lord.
Yeah.
It just shows your heart, girl.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Thank you, Carrie.
And that's what I had experienced going to the concert. It was a religious service. And all three, by the way, all three of the contestants were all apparently Christians and worship leaders in their various communities. And that's good to know, because kind of like anybody wins, we're all happy about it. At least those of us who advocate for that particular team. Lionel Richie.
So there's always the eternal question, why did God give you that gift? And it's very obvious. You're here to inspire us all, to lift us up. And you're doing such an amazing job.
Amen. Absolutely. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, State Road 87 and Farrington Road in Milton. Use caution through that area. Also still working that vehicle crash, Pine Forest Road at Stratford. No roadblock. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So we're going into the, you know, end of the first round. There were two rounds. They cut from 3 to 2, and then they cut from 2 to the winner. And at Ryan Seacrest, kind of joking with her son, Drew.
And your son, Drew, could host this show. He's been... Hey, Drew, come on over here, buddy.
I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes of vamping he did at the Hunter Amphitheater, I would totally agree.
So what we've got to do is get votes, okay? So, vote for who?
My mom, Keila Richardson.
Somebody turn the mic on. That's not his fault, right?
As you know, we've got to narrow it down. In no particular order, after the nationwide live vote, the first person to take a spot in your top two is Jordan. Congratulations!
All right, so the dude gets in, so it's Keila versus Hannah for the second spot.
In your top two is... Congratulations.
And you know what? Honestly, I was so proud of her. Even having finished in the top three is an amazing, absolutely amazing accomplishment. And obviously brought so much positive attention for the community, to the community. You know, we're just rejoicing and faith and prayer and great music. And, you know, the one, to me, part of the testimony to her as a fan, and I'm a fan of good performances and good art, not particularly a fan of American Idol, is that, generally speaking, she didn't sing songs that would be like my songs. You know what I mean? Just like the concert wasn't really my music, per se, but it was wonderful nevertheless. And that sometimes is the testimony to a great performer, is they can make the music that you don't particularly love, but you still love the performance. And that was kind of my experience with her. And I wonder, you know, I wonder what other songs she could have done that might have gotten a better response in the end. I don't know. But when she came back, she was so relaxed, because in the third part, the third part went on forever. All of these other performances from all of these other people, I mean, it was an idol, you know, self-congratulatory extravaganza. Maybe you loved it. If you're an American Idol fan, that's fine. For me, I fast-forwarded through almost all of it until she sang again. And I thought, oh, well, Jason Mraz, this could be quite good. He is a fabulous performer. And she was relaxed. And, you know, it didn't matter anymore. There was nothing on the line. It was just, I'm here to sing for my son and my God and my people, and let's just sing and have a good time.
I won't give up on us, even if the skies get rough. I'm giving you all my love. I'm still looking up.
See, and I think, if I remember, she was seated. I think they were both seated at that part. And it's a different vibe, and she just killed that song for sure. And singing with him, you know, you kind of like, how could she not win with that? Anyway, so in the end, it was Hannah who won. If you care, I didn't care anymore. I was interested in Keila. I was only there for Keila. But again, what a great thing for our community. You know, the ad was wonderful, bringing attention to Pensacola, certainly representing, giving all the local kids something to be excited about and do a parade for and love her. And just all positive, all positive. And it still cracks me up that there are occasionally, and I have already gotten a text or two today from people who are like, you know, they're just mean people. I don't know what, they're a mess, you know, pray for them, because there are hateful people in the world. It's kind of sad to think about, but there are a couple. And I think, man, you know, if you didn't like this and didn't enjoy this and didn't like her, that says absolutely nothing about her and says absolutely everything about you. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, you know, here's this bright, shiny, beautiful, amazing, wonderful thing. Nah, you know, the maintenance is going to be, you know, like there's always those people. You know, there's always going to be people who, no matter how good a thing is, you know, they're not going to appreciate it. And so thank you, Keela. Thank you for, you know, doing your performances and representing our community so well. I certainly appreciate it. The mayor last night talking about this to Channel 3.
I'm most excited about for her is her future. Is, you know, it doesn't end with this show. It doesn't end with the result of this show. As we've seen so many times with American Idol, there's as much, if not more, success with folks that don't win. That she was able to be on network TV for the same amount of weeks. And I know the drive that she has and that her family has. This is just the beginning for her. And what a special opportunity to be the mayor of a city and to have all of these thousands of citizens care for one of their own like that. And I know we'll look back at this and really say, man, this was the launch of such an amazing career that continues to put Pensacola on the map.
Hey, absolutely. Certainly. We'll continue to celebrate her as we watch her grow in the industry. 437-1620, if you want to talk to me about anything that's going on, always feel free to text, including to disagree. It's always encouraged and allowed. If you need to work on a home improvement project, you got a honeydew or something broke, or you're trying to improve something, do an addition, an expansion, or you build things for a living. You know, really, Pensacola Hardware is there for everybody at every level of skill and devotion to doing repairs or building things, and especially if you are a builder. Like, they are your commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is here. They want to order it. You know, they have it on stock because they know time is money. They can bring it directly to your job site. They can put you on a monthly bill. They can take care of you, and they will understand your language. You don't have to get a translator. And if you wonder about that, go in, you know, go to Pensacola Hardware and ask for, you know, Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and say, all right, I build things for a living. Let me talk to somebody. And then you talk to them and you decide for yourself if they don't make a better pitch for why you should take your business to them. You know, you be the judge. I'm just saying there's a reason that they have been doing this for 175 years, since 1851, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida. Before there was a Civil War, before there was Levi's Jeans, there was Pensacola Hardware. So they have been helping people just like you build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Allow me to give you four get-along statements from Philippians chapter 2. Statement number one, have the same love. The Bible tells us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. Statement number two, obey the prohibition against strife and vainglory. Essentially, God says stop it. Statement number three, have a humble heart. The Bible calls it lowliness of mind. Statement number four, stop looking at how to help yourself and start looking at how to help others. If you'll practice these four principles in your workplace, in your marriage, or in any human relationships, you will find them to be four very effective get-along principles.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
My family and I finally found the perfect apartment to rent.
My school is right down the block.
Can we go to the park anytime we want?
Yes, sweetie.
Then, after we were turned down, how was I going to explain? The landlord doesn't want families with kids in his building?
So we made a call to HUD and found out that's illegal.
If you think you've been discriminated against, call HUD at 1-800-669-9777 or go to hud.gov/fairhousing.
Fair housing is your right. Use it.
A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Okay, here are three important reasons why your son or daughter should play a sport in high school.
Number one.
High school sports teach valuable life lessons like self-discipline and time management skills.
Two.
Teens who play a high school sport have better grade point averages.
And number three.
High school sports are safer than ever before.
This message presented by the Florida High School Athletic Association and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
What?
is your name?
My name is Sir Lancelot of Camelot.
What is your quest?
To seek the Holy Grail.
What is your favorite color?
Blue.
Right, off you go.
Oh, thank you.
Good morning, 7:25, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. PJ has traffic on the fives. PJ?
Still working that vehicle crash with injury, State Road 87 at Farrington Road in Milton. Just use caution through that area. Also working two vehicle crashes, I-10 eastbound, right near the Crestview exit. Looks like Highway 85 has seen some backups as a result of that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Remember that property, abandoned property ordinance that Milton had been pursuing that would put people on a registry and then they have to pay an escalating fee structure to have abandoned or undeveloped or vacant properties in the city? That's been put on pause based on some feedback, so I don't know whether I had anything to do with that in my raising of the questions about it being sort of like socialism with a smile, you know, or slow eminent domain. But we'll see what they come back with when that gets put back on the agenda. It is not on tonight's city council meeting agenda. Meanwhile, something we didn't really talk much about is they are implementing or going to look at tonight implementing an increase in natural gas fees. This is Joe Cook, the Public Works Director.
The installation charge right now is $35. But if you adopt this, it will go for a long service. It cost us $1,136.48 in material to put a long service. A long service is where we have to bore under a road. A short service cost us $746.78 to put in. That's a service on the same side of the road as the main is. And we get $35 for it now.
That's crazy.
Under this proposal, you get 100%?
Yes, we get 100% of what
actual cost.
Actual cost. Now, we've at labor have come on top of that. I just got material cost here, but whatever it takes us in labor to put it in, it'll be added to that. Will be your connection fee.
So what Joe's saying is that $1,100 or several hundred, 700 regular is what it costs them to put in the connection for natural gas, but the charge they were passing on to the consumer who was having that installation was $35. So the city was losing, you know, $600, $700, $800, $900 every time they installed natural gas, which is not a winning recipe. But also that the ongoing charge for just having gas hooked up when they're not really using it very much, that's been a problem, sort of the minimum fee amount. So both of those are going to get tinkered with if they pass this tonight. And basically the ordinance for the installation is you tell us you want natural gas, we're going to give you a quote for how much that's going to be. You got to put a deposit of 50% of that down prior to the work going. If you cancel that too quickly, we'll give you back half of the deposit. You know, there's some other parameters involved. There's some discounts for active retired military. They're not very much. But then also a higher minimum amount per month because, for example, you know, delivering gas service, I think, to generators is one of the things that had come up. It's an effort to basically get their costs and not be losing money on certain kinds of natural gas service, which makes sense to me.
What it'll stop is people just arbitrarily just signing up for gas service for $35, right? So if they're going to pay $1,000 or $1,100 for gas, they're going to use
it. You're going to want it.
They're going to want it. So that'll stop all of this stuff now that's going on. People sign up for $35. Well, for $35, I'll put gas in my house, right?
Right.
Even though I'll never use it, right? It'll stop that, right? So it'll
absolutely.
That'll put a stop to it real quick.
So. Yeah, make it actually something they have to pay to get since it's so much of a cost to the city.
I'm 100%
that was
in
my
support
Cusack.
Of us not losing money by just installing gas. Yes, we should be collecting 100, I think we've talked about this before outside of here, but collecting 100% of the cost for installation is, in my mind, is a definite doable. But being careful what we charge on a monthly basis, and I'd love to see it incremented in.
So if you have a minimum monthly gas bill in Milton, you're going to want to pay attention to this. If you're wanting to install natural gas or build a home, you're going to want to pay attention to this. It'll be on tonight's agenda meeting. The other thing I had forgotten about this, but the other thing related to the vacant or property, abandoned property ordinance was a question raised by Marilyn Farrow. And I same thing is, if you are going to pursue this, the fees are actually probably too low. They need to be higher. Now, I don't think they should be doing it, but if you are going to do it, you know, $250 isn't going to motivate anybody. So it's with a property. So we'll see what they come back with, and they will come back with it. It's just not on the agenda for tonight. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. President Trump is heading to China today for a meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping. The meeting between the two leaders, of course, coming at a pivotal time in U.S.-China relations with the emergence of the Iran war. Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth testifying before the House and the Senate today. Hegseth being joined by Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Dan Kane, at subcommittee hearings concerning the Department of War's 2027 budget.
All right. Very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. Bands on the Beach tonight. If you want to see some good music, go out to Bands on the Beach, the Gulfside Pavilion out at Casino Beach parking lot. It'll be a good time. It always is. 7 o'clock. Go by the Cat Country tent, win some stuff, or at least sign up to win some stuff. Have a good time.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump gearing up for his first trip to China since 2017. He will discuss the war in Iran, trade and other topics with China's President Xi Jinping. Meanwhile, the conflict in the Gulf is far from over. Kuwait blames Iran for a failed attack earlier this month on an island in the Middle East nation.
It detained four gunmen from Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps trying to infiltrate an island just north of Kuwait City. And during the melee, one Kuwaiti soldier was injured.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson in Dubai. The head of the World Health Organization says,
at the moment, there is no sign that we are seeing the start of a larger outbreak.
Spanish authorities confirming one new case today of a Spanish traveler on that hantavirus cruise ship, bringing the total to 11 cases, including three people who died. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got rain across the area. It is 68 degrees. Well, if your yard waste hasn't been picked up yet in the city of Pensacola, it's not just you. The city is dealing with a yard waste backlog, unlike anything they've seen in recent years. Mayor D.C. Reeves laying out the scale of that problem last night at the city council meeting.
2024, February to May, 6.1. So, to be exact, 6,113,042 pounds of yard waste were picked up. In 2025, it was about 7.7. And in 2026, it's right now, as we sit with 19 more days left in May, we just went over 9 million pounds.
Mayor Reeves saying the city has leased three additional rear loader trucks that have been put into service this week. Sanitation crews joined by Pensacola Energy drivers and temporary labor are out collecting the yard waste. The city says no resident should be less than 14 days behind on pickups. Some areas are 21 to 39 days behind. The city sanitation department does say their goal is to get everybody back on their regular scheduled day. Sanitation director Daryl Singleton asking residents to also bag their leaves if possible. He says that makes things a lot faster than picking up the loose piles. Pensacola's Keela Richardson finishing third in American Idol last night. The season 24 finale wrapped up. Hannah Harper won the competition. Jordan McCullough finished second. The city of Pensacola releasing a statement saying Richardson represented Pensacola with her soaring voice and tremendous heart, and that the city was honored to play a part in her American Idol journey. Pensacola International Airport is looking to take advantage of its recent growth by adding major routes. News Radio recently talking with Assistant Director of Strategy and Development Todd Payne, who says the airport is pursuing nonstop service to several large markets.
We would like to get more service to the Mid-Atlantic, possibly to more service to Washington, maybe United to Dulles. There's a lot of oars in the water right now. Even service to Nassau and the Bahamas is on our list.
And Payne does say that the airport presents each market to the airlines best suited to serve that route, and they're currently making those presentations simultaneously. Naval Education and Training Command naming Navy Diver First Class Mark Powell its fiscal year 2025 Sailor of the Year. Powell's assigned to the Naval Diving and Salvage Training Center. He was recognized at a ceremony recently at the National Naval Aviation Museum at NAS Pensacola. He was selected for his leadership in high-risk diver training operations, mentoring sailors, and supporting fleet readiness. Rear Admiral Greg Huffman presented that award following a competitive week of evaluations and interviews among finalists from across NETC. And State Representative Michelle Salzman in Feeding the Gulf Coast is hosting a food distribution event this weekend at Marcus Point Baptist Church on North W Street. About 30,000 pounds of food will be given out, and that includes fresh produce. And that'll be available to at least the first 300 families starting at about 7:30 Saturday morning. Vehicles can begin lining up at 6 a.m. Organizers are encouraging people to get there early as those supplies are limited. 7:35 at News Radio, and PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Cambia County's tax base. Take a look at the big board here. We're still working that vehicle crash with injuries. State Road 87 at Farrington and Milton. Use caution through that area. Also have two crashes, I-10 eastbound right near Crestview. Mile marker 51, mile marker 55. Both are causing backups on State Road 87 in Crestview, so just be aware of that. Naval Live Oaks area, US 98 westbound in Gulf Breeze, seeing quite a bit of congestion. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing some rain showers as we go through those morning hours. Rain will taper off as we head into your afternoon. Temperatures will start to warm up as we head into the afternoon hours near 81 degrees with some sunshine peeking through. Going overnight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got rain and 67 degrees. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Consumer prices likely rose at a solid pace for a second straight month in April, which would result in the largest annual increase in inflation in more than 2.5 years. Reuters economists predict that the consumer price index likely increased 0.6% last month. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. For years, younger Americans have been more optimistic about the job market than older Americans. A new survey found that that is changing. A Gallup World poll found that 43% of people aged 15 to 34 in the U.S. believe it's a good time to find a job in the area where they live. This is well below the 64% of those aged 55 and over who say the same. Carlyle Group and Yum China Holdings are among suitors vying for a Jardine Matheson restaurant unit that runs KFC and Pizza Hut chains in Hong Kong, Taiwan, and other Asian markets. Reuters reports the deal could fetch around $400 million. Futures are still slightly lower as investors monitor Iran war developments. That's Your Money Now.
Sergeant R.J. Anderson's dream was to take to the skies.
I've always wanted to be a soldier, but my ultimate goal was to be a pilot. I think I was meant to fly. I had just applied to be a part of the 160th SOAR Regiment, and I was going to airborne school that next Monday. So I decided to go on a motorcycle ride with my buddies. We were going through a turn, and that's all I remember. That's the day everything changed. I was told by the doctor that I would never walk again. Thanks to Paralyzed Veterans of America, competing in adaptive sports lit my fire again. They help you transition for the rest of your life to that individual that you want to be. Sports like hand cycling really pushes you to find who you are in that redefining moment after injury. With PVA Sports, I've found my freedom. Now when I think about my future, the possibilities are endless.
For more information, visit PVA.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
One time he forgot to fuel up the boat. And it wouldn't be the first time he left his tackle box behind. On one trip he even headed out without his lucky hat. And seems he almost always forgets to wear his sunscreen. But he never forgets to wear the one thing that could save his life. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida.
Visit myfwc.com for more information.
We have a job to do out here today.
To be a winning team, you have to work like a winning team.
My team depends on me.
And my team is 50,000 strong.
This is the Action Team. High school students and Major League Baseball players working together to train and inspire the next generation of volunteers.
I'm LaTroy Hawkins.
I'm Craig Kimbrell, and we're on the team.
The Action Team.
Our team is the Action Team. Get in on the action at actionteam.org.
Are you in?
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
Alex Andrade, do the maps accomplish the goal of ending the race-based drawing? Do you think they were drawn for partisan advantage?
The first question, yes, I think it addresses race-based maps. It complies with the Clay decision, and it provided justification to pass the map yesterday.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us this morning. Joining us now in studio, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. Did you enjoy the Keela Richardson concert last week? I saw you there. It was a fun time.
I did. I enjoyed the whole thing. The atmosphere, everything was good. I did not go to the other
events. Parade.
I didn't go to the parade. Yeah. We helped them with the escort, obviously, but I had work to do. And where we were able to get down there, down to the concert. It was a cool location, cool event, something we may be telling our great-grandkids about 10, 20 years
ago. I know, it was neat. Anything from a security standpoint worth mentioning? It seemed to all go off without a hitch. And the GSC or whoever staff took care of things, and everything was fine.
I didn't notice anything. I had one lost phone that was given to me. And I said, well, I'll hold on to it because somebody will call
it. Yeah, right.
And because it was lost and found, but it was way in the front. So we waited, and I moved around for about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden it called. And she said, well, how will I know it's you? I said, well, I'm standing here in the sheriff's office uniform. She says, I didn't know it was you. Where's your phone?
That's great. We had a stabbing that got kind of interesting after the fact. This is on Doris Avenue. Is that right?
That's correct. On the 10th, we responded to 8535 Doris Avenue for a stabbing victim. A 27-year-old Hispanic male was stabbed in the abdomen and right arm by his roommate after some sort of an altercation. The suspect was also Hispanic. We went to the hospital to follow up on him, found out that there were non-life-threatening injuries. However, as part of the investigation, we had to head back to location to look for the suspect, whose name was Joaquin Valdez, and we noticed him. He was hiding in a shed around the back. He claimed it was self-defense. We discussed and all that, but we weren't able to establish probable cause. I mean, it's what he said, she said type of thing.
Okay.
And so we didn't arrest anyone. However, there
So the guy who committed the stabbing, you couldn't establish that he wasn't justified self-defense.
Right.
And the guy who was stabbed, it's not life-threatening, so...
They're
basically
both saying self-defense, and no one's really giving us enough to arrest one or versus the other.
So guy in the shed, just being a shed guy, but
hanging,
he's not, he doesn't get arrested for the stabbing because, as you say, unclear. But then what?
Well, yeah, a total of 7 people were there at that address.
In the shed?
Well, no, at the address.
Okay.
And at least one was in the shed. And they were all determined to be undocumented and illegal here in the country.
Oh.
So we provided ICE detainers and warrants complete on all of them, and they were taken to the jail for further processing through ICE.
Was the guy that was in the shed, was he also here illegally?
That's correct.
Okay. And so how did the officers get from one guy being here illegally to everybody else in the building? Do you know how the...
Well, we're trying to identify who the suspect was. We obviously found someone in the shed, but
there's
other people there, and we're looking for witnesses.
And
when we determine that they're not here legally, we're not going to turn our back on that.
Okay.
We're not necessarily doing raids, as you probably have heard, but when we come upon someone that's here illegally, we're going to do what the law provides.
Okay, and that's kind of interesting, too, because I hadn't been clear what our policy here was, whether it was illegal, undocumented status as a secondary fact around already committing a crime. Obviously, that's an easy case. I hadn't known whether we were detaining people, say, only for the crime of being here undocumented. And the answer is yes, if you discover them.
If we discover them while we're already there
doing something else. Okay.
Crime. Yes, that's correct.
And so, because I actually had somebody had communicated with me and said, there seems like there's a bunch of ICE detainers at people in the jail right now. Ask the sheriff. Well, I don't have to. Now that's what happened. There wasn't a raid. There was just an incident where you produced a bunch of them, and now they're in jail waiting for processing from ICE.
Yeah, whatever that process looks like. Yeah, this is part of why we're on this, the task force.
Yep.
We have some task force officers, because otherwise we would have to wait hours and hours to get, I mean, in many cases, and we think we'd wait for hours and hours in this particular case to get an ICE agent to come and take care of this. So we were able to process that a lot quicker.
We also had, and I'll take this as a good week, when the highest profile things were that stabbing whatever incident, and then also somebody got shot with a BB gun at a bus stop. Is it a school bus stop or a regular bus stop? ECAT stop.
I think it was a regular bus stop.
Okay.
There was two actual incidents. One on the 10th, I think one on the 11th.
Okay.
And where an individual, someone in a white truck, and we believe they're connected.
Okay.
Someone in a white truck pulled out a BB gun or pellet gun and started shooting at individuals.
Just because airsoft or BBs? Like copper or we don't know?
I understand it's BBs. But
okay.
I'm assuming because of the distance, sometimes pellets, by my experience at least, the pellets go a little bit fast, a little bit farther.
Well, airsoft, if it's a, you know, decent one, it can go a long way too.
Oh, okay. Airsoft, yeah, but no, but this is just a
regular BB gun. Okay,
got it. One individual was hit in the thumb, and another hit in the backside.
Okay, and so they're okay. I mean, even though they were hit, okay. Not injured, didn't break the skin or anything. It's not John Candy, you know.
No,
it's
as
not,
I understand, not... they're still okay.
Okay, but you cannot go around shooting people with a BB gun.
No, you can't. I mean, as you know, the old saying goes, you could put an eye out. You certainly could.
Yeah.
There's something, some very serious injuries that can take place.
And even
just indiscriminately shoot BB guns.
And even if they don't get hurt in what you would consider a serious way, that is still a battery, right? That's still is it a deadly missile?
It could be worse. Yeah, it depends.
What's the charge on that?
Well, at this point, it's battery because the injuries aren't life-threatening or they're not permanent.
Okay.
But if it's something where a reasonable person would think that could cause serious bodily injury, if I'm looking at you and I aim right there at your head with a BB gun, whether I hit you in the eyes or not,
right.
then that certainly could be aggravated assault or battery.
Reckless endangerment, maybe something like that.
It could be if you think it's if you're just playing around. Again, if you're playing around and you want to show me the gun, but you're toying around and laughing and joking, then yeah, it could be a number of different things. But okay. Typically, it's battery.
Yep.
Or aggravated battery or assault or aggravated assault.
Okay.
One of those four things.
All right. In any case, you cannot be driving around shooting people with BB guns at bus stops.
It's not funny. Yeah, I don't know. First thing I said, was this another one of those stupid TikTok things?
Yeah,
people doing this? I don't know. I don't have that information. All I know is you shouldn't be doing it.
Very good. We're talking to Chip Simmons. Chip, hang on for just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working two vehicle crashes, I-10 eastbound, both near Crestview. Mile marker 51, that's the more serious of the two. Also working a vehicle crash, mile marker 55. That is causing some backups on State Road 85 in Crestview, so just be aware of that. Also, US 98 westbound, as you're passing by the Naval Live Oaks area in Gulf Breeze, that's seeing quite a bit of congestion, so add a couple minutes onto your trip. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Oh, you had a guy who... he was in the ambulance, he was out of the ambulance, and then he was arrested for a bunch of stuff. What happened here?
Yeah, Travis Montez Mitchell. He's 40 years old, so you think he'd know better, right? He apparently was slumped over in his vehicle, and ambulance showed up. And while they were providing treatment to him, he was in the back of the ambulance. Well, he noticed that the sheriff's department, the sheriff's office, had been called. That's us. We got called. We started heading that way. And when he saw us, he jumps out of the ambulance, and he starts taking off running. Not a fast runner. We were able to catch him and detain him. And the car that he had was a rental car, and one of the rental car companies came in to go ahead and document what's in the car, take possession of the car, and then they said, "Hey, I found this bag of drugs in this car," and that led us to search the car, and we found, to get this is a lot of stuff. We found 300 grams of methamphetamine, 17 grams of fentanyl, 25 grams of crack cocaine. So he went old school.
Wow.
with us also. And then he also had a .45 caliber handgun with ammunition, digital scales, and plastic baggies. Here's what gets me, that according to a report, he had 23 previous felony convictions.
Come on.
Why he's out, I don't know. Now, again, maybe he charged with 10 burglaries at one time. I don't know the circumstance. I didn't dig into it. But I can tell you that 23 previous convictions. I hope these convictions are going to, what, the 24th, 5th, and 6th conviction will stick, and he'll spend a lot of time in prison.
Those sound like high in number. Are those trafficking amounts to what are those?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it does take a lot to traffic in fentanyl, and 17 grams, all those are trafficking amounts.
He's
charged with 4 grams of fentanyl is trafficking.
It's trafficking. Okay. And he has 4 times that much. Grams, okay.
And 14 grams of meth is trafficking. And he had 300 grams.
Wow.
Okay. And scales and all
and a gun
all
and
stuff,
you know,
gun, yeah, and
all
and
of that.
He's not a convicted felon one time, 23
right.
times.
Right. Right. I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you saw the article, the PNJ, it's really a USA Today article from Florida, but talking about the, you know, they claim the higher incidence of searches being done on black drivers after they're pulled over for incidental things or what people call pretextual stops, which is broken taillight or heavy tinting or, you know, things of the what you'd say are, you know, like the tag is expired, kind of minor infractions, but are still, you know, you can pull somebody over for that. I just wanted to talk with you because, you know, you've worked at the city, you've worked at the county. People hear about the pretextual and that sounds like it's a bad thing. But the law enforcement officers that I've had contact with, like pretextual stops are a incredibly valuable way of finding criminals who are doing other things. Is that you tell me what's, you know.
There are times that we're aware of us particular. We get a, you know, people call us and say, hey, there's a drug house in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they think that there's nothing really we can do or nothing mm-hmm. we do. But really what we're doing is we're spreading that information to the deputies that are working that area. And so when a deputy sees a vehicle leaving that area and like, ooh, that's the house that was supposed to be selling drugs. I wonder if that car just bought some drugs there. And so as they're watching them, they noticed a tag had been expired, and then they stopped the car. You can't just forget about what you knew. You know, you still have to get to evaluate that. But it's not just out of the blue. Mm-hmm. It is a stop based upon what the information. That's why you were there. And then you stop that car, and then you run a dog around the car, and you search that car. That's kind of where the pretextual part of it is. But again, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not an illegal thing. It's okay to do it
right.
As long as the stop itself is valid. You can't make up a stop, obviously, and we're certainly not doing that. We have body cameras to help us yeah. verify we're not doing that sort of thing. So that's the basis for it.
And I, you know, over the years of talking to you and talking to PPD and Santa Rosa, loads of arrests for major things started with a traffic stop for blowing a stop sign, speeding, not having your lights on, all kinds of things like that, right?
That's correct. Yeah, there's a factors. Last couple of weeks, I guess we made some traffic stops and ended up making some decent sized drug arrests for sales, not just people that are
purchasing,
having user amounts of drugs. These are people that have one particular case. We stopped a car. I think it had a tag, not a sign, or something wrong with the tag, and maybe it was a dealer tag. Maybe I can't remember. Temporary tag. So we stopped the car and ended up getting a lady in this particular incident, since she had a number of drugs to include heroin. And she had syringes and she had all this stuff. And we put it out on our social media platforms. And my point is, yes, we make traffic stops. And oftentimes traffic stops lead to individuals that shouldn't be driving in the first place. People that have guns that shouldn't have guns because they're convicted felons. And people that have drugs and guns. And obviously they're tearing up our community. So a lot of good police work starts with a traffic stop.
And I did want to just give you a chance to respond, because in that article, you know, they list Escambia as one of the agencies that has a what they called, and I talked about this yesterday a little bit, but a disproportionate ratio between black drivers who get searched versus white drivers who get searched out of the total number of stops that wind up getting made. They say it was about a 3-to-1 ratio. And, you know, I know you've done a lot in this regard, but, you know, can you just maybe either respond to that charge they're kind of making or explain what you do in the sheriff's office to make sure that you're not racially profiling anybody?
Yeah, well, that charge obviously has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Escambia County Sheriff's Office. That's all purely Florida Highway Patrol, the troopers' information that they're gathering. But however,
thank you for clarifying that.
Yes, yeah, we also, while we're not obligated to do this TSDR, this traffic stop that reporting, we do that, and then we evaluate, which means we when we stop a car, we document what the stop was for. We document the race and the sex of the driver. What happened? Was it? Were they given a warning? Were they given a citation? Was the car searched? All that stuff is documented on our own forms. And then what we do is we look for signs of bias. We look for one deputy that may have a higher ratio of warnings or tickets or anything like that. And then we address that. We address that with a lieutenant. We address that with the deputy themselves. But we also look at what area they're working. Are they working in an area that's predominantly a black area? Are they stopping cars? Do they have a canine, which means you'd probably have more searches because a canine is more available in that particular situation. So we look for the bias. I don't know the numbers that we've had. Based on what statistics, I haven't compared their statistic to what our statistic would be, but I can tell you the last couple of years, our numbers have been nowhere near that. Now, the enforcement actions of the Florida Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Office is a lot different. Mm-hmm. They're primarily traffic. They do a lot. I'm assuming they do a lot more traffic stops, and their data would be more pure traffic stops. We do what we call kind of informed patrol when we're trying to stop a crime. So when we look at a heat map where the most crimes are being reported, and we will put our deputies in that area more often. So that's kind of – it's a little different. We don't do as many traffic stops as the Florida Highway Patrol would do. Obviously, we're busy answering calls for service.
Right.
Every 911 call, every domestic violence call. So their sample size is much greater and probably more pure to specific traffic stop criteria.
No, and that's a really interesting point about the where you're patrolling, and even the nature of the location you're patrolling in might be a place where you would have a higher frequency of stops as opposed to, I mean, like the number of houses per acre can make a difference in how many stops you're winding up making just because there's more people in some areas. And so taking all of that into account and looking at the numbers at a much more informed rate, that makes perfect sense to me. And again, the fact that you're Escambia County Sheriff's Office and not FHP, which is a good distinction to make. You also have the memorial that you just did, yesterday, and then you're traveling to D.C. tomorrow for the National Memorial, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we've added a name to our memorial. Jeremy Cassidy was succumbed to the injuries that he suffered years ago.
Yeah.
So we're adding him to not just our memorial, which we had our law enforcement memorial yesterday morning. Last week we went to Tallahassee for the state memorial, and then tomorrow a couple of us will be heading to Washington, D.C. to be adding Jeremy's name to the National Memorial. We don't often go to the all three memorials, but unfortunately,
in this case,
you add one of your own to these memorials, and the family goes, we think it's only right and fitting that we represent Escambia County and say
absolutely
thank you to the sacrifice.
Sheriff Simmons, as always, a pleasure, sir. Thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working those two vehicle crashes, I-10 eastbound, right near Crestview, mile marker 51. That's the more serious of the two. Also, mile marker 55. That is causing some backups on State Road 85 in Crestview, so just be aware of that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
You can imagine how happy we all were. My wife, our three kids, and I have found the perfect apartment to rent.
My school is right down the block?
Yes, it is.
Mommy, can we go to the park anytime we want?
Anytime we want.
So, you can imagine trying to answer all their questions after the landlord turned us down.
What happened? Why can't we live there?
Why not, Papa?
What was I going to say? The landlord doesn't want families with kids in his building? We made a call to HUD and found out that being denied because we have kids is illegal. We got answers. We got help.
And we got the apartment.
If you think you've been discriminated against because of your familial status, race, color, religion, national origin, sex, or disability, call the HUD hotline, 1-800-669-9777, or go to hud.gov/fairhousing. File a complaint. Make something happen.
Fair housing is your right. Use it.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
It's blasphemy. This is madness. This is Sparta.
Gerard Butler's best line ever. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline for us. David?
Well, media entrepreneur Byron Allen is set to buy a majority stake in BuzzFeed. That deal was announced yesterday. It would keep BuzzFeed afloat while making Allen CEO. It's expected to close by the end of the month.
All right, very good. The drama over the hiring of the Library Services Coordinator. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.